You cannot talk butterfly language with caterpillar people.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. We're going to cover off Sunday's action in the NBA. We're going to preview Monday's games for DFS. So with only a few days left in the season,
let's get to it.
Indeed, we will start with the monstrous line of the night. That is also the, well, no, it's not that one. It's the young gun of the night. Taurean, the artist formerly known as Prince of the Atlanta Hawks. Prince was fantastic and he's been really, really strong down the stretch here. 33 points with 7 triples, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 12 of 17 from the field. Over the last 2 months, he's been a top 50 player. Over the last month, he's been a top 30 player. The biggest reason for these increases in numbers is a big, big jump in his usage. For the year, he is under 22% usage. 20% usage is average. It's, you know, 100% divided by 5 guys on the court at once. But over the last 2 months, he's up to 26% usage. And that's to do with the absence of guys like Ersan Ilyasova, the recent absence of Dennis Schroeder, Kent Bazemore being out as well. So he's taking on a larger role. But importantly, in that larger role, he is shooting the ball at an equally, if not better, rate. In fact, over the last month, his true shooting is up to 60%, hitting 47% of his shots and 41% from three. And for the course of the year, he's at 39% from three. So that's obviously been key, averaging almost 20 points over the last 16 games, including 5 rebounds. But probably the weirdest increase in what Prince has been doing has been his assist rate, almost 4 assists per game over that period. And again, without Schroeder and without Bazemore for a large portion of that, he's taking on a primary initial, maybe secondary initiator sort of role. But combining that with an increase in usage and an increase in efficiency has all been really, really good for Taurean. He had an absolute stinker of a stretch back in mid-January, where he had 4 consecutive games where he totaled only 17 points in 4 games. Clearly horrible. He'd been up and down, started off the season quite poorly as well. But we thought that he was going to be a breakout player this year. I didn't expect this level of performance, but he's going to end the year as a top 75 guy. And that's right in line with the sort of thing that you thought he could achieve this season, even though there have been some significant ups and downs. I'm not a biggest fan of him as an on-court guy in terms of developing into a star, but on a team that's as starved for talent as this current iteration of the Hawks is, he is putting up those numbers and doing the efficiency improvement, which is really horrible English, but improving his efficiency with the extra responsibility is a massive, massive sign that should give Hawks fans some level of hope that he can become a really solid starter on a solid team, which is, you know, when you're picking at pick 12, you know, probably more than you should be expecting at that sort of a spot, and Prince is turning into that sort of a player, and he should be set for another top 80, top 70, maybe even higher season next year. Of course, so much depends on what happens over the offseason. The waiver wire line of the night goes to another second-year player, and that's Domantas Sabonis of the Indiana Pacers. 30 points with 8 rebounds. He also had 3 assists and 3 steals and was 13 of 21 from the field. He saw an increased role in this game with Miles Turner in extraordinary foul trouble. And this makes the third game in his last 4 games where he has scored in double-digit points. He is, over that time in those 4 games, the 59th ranked player, averaging 16 and 6. But he is always going to be held back by a number of factors. And number one of those is his really, really poor block rate. For the season, he averages 0.6 blocks per 36 minutes. That is absolutely horrendous for a big man. It's horrendous for players of many different positions. He just does not have that ability to block shots or get steals. Yes, his assist rate has risen this season. He's a pretty good rebounder. He scores okay. The efficiency is fine. I don't ever see him becoming a fantasy stud. And his value is really tied to what happens with Miles Turner. Now, Turner only played 7 minutes today, so Sabonis got extended run. If Miles goes out and plays 30 minutes, then Sabonis plays 15 or 16 minutes. So it is quite dependent on what happens with Miles. You could take a flyer and add him for his one remaining game on Tuesday, that is Sabonis. But, you know, there's every indication that he only plays 20 minutes in that game. So while he has been a huge surprise and taken his elevated his game this year, there is still, you know, significant crosses or checks against what he can do in terms of, you know, developing into some sort of future star or anything along that line, in terms of his fantasy value at least. The dart of the night. I tell a man's not hot. I just spoke about this bloke. Miles Turner was just putrid. One rebound, missed all four of his shots, played just the handful of minutes due to accumulation of fouls. 7 minutes with four fouls in that time frame. There is no getting around it that his last 2 weeks, his last month have been terrible. He is still a top 70 player for the season, which is nowhere near the value of where he was drafted. I've spoken about him many, many times, but over this last month, his last 2 weeks, he has been terrible. In fact, he is barely inside the top 200 over the last 2 weeks. The minutes are down. He's not rebounding anything. He's not blocking shots. He's not hitting shots. He's not doing anything really. And again, the Pacers have one game left. You'd be hard-pressed to lock him into a weekly lineup if that's what your league is doing at the moment. And if you need to drop him to grab someone for two games, that might actually be, in fact, it probably is going to be the best option that you can take given how poorly performed Miles Turner has been. Now, he could very easily play 29 minutes in the next game and put up, you know, 20 and 6 with two blocks and two triples very easily. We've seen him do it numerous, numerous times. But it is only the one game that he's got left, so you're not going to be missing out on too much. So bear that in mind. He is probably going to go down this season as one of the biggest busts of the season. Myself and Kyle McCune will be talking about our hits and misses in our projections later on this week, so make sure you tune into that, and I'm sure Miles' name will be brought up pretty consistently. Well, that does it for all the awards from Sunday. Let's kick it into gear and look at the games and go through these box scores and try and figure out what we can determine and what makes sense out of these games. The first game we'll look at, the Dallas Mavericks and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Mavericks had been going in an opposite direction with playing their guys' minutes, but in this one, Rick Carlisle just went full Thibodeau. 40 minutes for Dennis Smith, 43 minutes for the pencil Harrison Barnes, 35 minutes for Dwight Powell. Now, Powell's minutes had been consistently around 20 for about the last 3 to 4 weeks, so this was a little bit out of the blue, and that limited what Jonathan Motley could do, who'd been playing very well. 4 points and 5 rebounds for Motley in his 16 minutes. Smith was excellent, and I'm telling you, he is going to be a star. 25 and 11, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 47%. Just have a look what he's doing recently, and he will be, I feel, a guy that you can get probably in the 80s or 90s next year, and I will be all over it because I reckon top 40, top 50 is what we're looking at for Dennis Smith. Maxi Kleber had a nice double-double. Him, Powell, Motley, they can all be considered for 12 team as well. Smith should be owned no matter what league that is. Onto the Sixers, another gem from Robert Covington, 15 and 10 with 3 triples, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. He has been absolutely excellent, a top 15 player over the last 2 weeks, while Simmons had 16, 7, and 9 with 4 steals and a block. And the Sixers, amazingly, just recorded their 50th win. You know, in the prime position to get that third seed. They've got the Hawks left and then the Bucks in their last two games, and just been a remarkable year. With Embiid out, we're continually seeing this. It's Ersan Ilyasova, it's Marco Bellinelli, and it's JJ Redick who are picking up the slack. Ilyasova is a must-own guy. He had 11 and 12, while Redick and Bellinelli continue to be excellent points and threes streamers, aside from the fact that Bellinelli didn't hit any triples in this one, while Rashawn Holmes can't get anything going. 8 and 5 in 21. You're better off streaming that spot in the majority of cases. Šarić also struggling a little bit, 9-5-5 in his 27 minutes, while Markel Fultz played quite a few minutes next to Benny Simmons. 8-2-3 in 21 there for Markel. We're talking about just deeper leagues for him at this point this season. The Indiana Pacers and the Charlotte Hornets, we talked about Sabonis, we've talked about Miles already. The Pacers are in basically resigning themselves to the fifth seed mode, limiting the minutes of these guys. Oladipo, only 27 minutes. Foul trouble did bother him though. Thad Young played 17 minutes, and that's two consecutive games of under 20 minutes for Thad. We had Glenn Robinson III, the little dog, played 24 minutes. Lance Stevenson played 27 minutes. So some weird stuff going on. I wouldn't be dropping Oladipo necessarily, but as I said before, he's only got one game left. So I know for myself, in a league that I've got a weekly lock, which is still going, again, shouldn't be still going, but it is, I'm not starting Oladipo this week because everyone else has got two games. So I'm going to take those two games of those other players over him. Boyan had 13 and Daz Collison had 9 in 21 minutes, and probably you're going to be slightly limited again in the next game, which is going to make him a hard guy to continue to roster when you're streaming should be the name of the game. Malik Monk was excellent once more, 22 points on 17 shots, 24 minutes, 5 assists and 2 steals. He is really putting together a strong, strong April, getting the assists, scoring, hitting threes, getting some steals, and starting to be like the player that many people thought at times last year could be in the conversation for the number one or number two pick, has been dreadful nearly all season. And a large portion of that blame, I think, goes to Steve Clifford. I really, really just hate the attitude of you're a rookie, therefore you won't play. It just is counterproductive in the majority of cases. And we're seeing Monk play now, and he looks better. And you could make the argument, oh, he only is playing this well because of all the tough love he received. I'll say that's likely bullshit, but we're never going to know because obviously we don't have parallel universes where we can have one that Monk plays all season and one where he sits on the bench and fingers his asshole. So we don't really know which one of those is the right way to go. I just think giving these guys more of an opportunity is probably the better way to go about it. Kemba Walker played 25 minutes and Dwight played 24. That seems like it's going to continue for the next game, making those guys a little bit tougher to hold on to. While Bill Hernan Gomez, I like adding him, 24 minutes, 14 and 8. Massive chance that Dwight doesn't play this season finale. And we could get 30 minutes of Bill, and that should result in numbers enough to be owned in nearly all leagues. Let's go to the Atlanta Hawks and the Boston Celtics. The Hawks get the victory over Boston. The Baptist had 12 and 5 with 3 steals and a block. He is a clear must-own. While the Hawks went with an interesting starting lineup, they took Isaiah Taylor out and they started DeAndre Bembry and Damian Damo Lee in the backcourt. We know Bembry's strength is being able to be a ball handler. He only played 20 minutes, but it was interesting to see that starting configuration. Bembry did what I've been so excited about what he can do fantasy-wise. 20 minutes, but 11-3-3 with a triple one. Him hitting a three is a huge fluke in itself, but those other numbers can come from DeAndre. So let's see what happens if they retain him as a starter. If he gets 25 minutes, there's enough value there. Damo Lee had 14 and 8, while Tyler Dorsey didn't have as great a night, 8 and 2. I would have Lee over Dorsey pretty comfortably. Well, The Undertaker, yeah, he made his return to WWE today in what was just the most drawn-out entrance I've ever seen. But 10 points with 4 rebounds in 27 minutes for The Undertaker, still a guy that should be held onto, in my opinion. While Isaiah Taylor, he was productive, 28 off the bench, 13, 2, and 6. But if they give Bembry a little bit more playing time, it's likely going to come at the expense of Taylor, and that could make his spot in a 12-team league a little tenuous. For the Celtics, they're in the 2 seed. They're not going anywhere, so minutes are going to be apportioned fairly evenly. So therefore, we got 27 minutes of Semi Ojeleye, who had 13 and 6. We had 17, 2, and 4 from Greggy Monroe.
As Greg runs in, we realise this could get dangerous.
17, 2, and 4 for Greggy there. He's a fine guy to own as well. Marcus Morris rested this one. Al Horford and Jason Tatum rested the last game. I'd expect to see perhaps Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown rest as we come up here. Perhaps even more rest for Al Horford. Yeah, opening up some value for the Ojeleyes, for Munros, for perhaps Jabari Bird, who's played over 20 minutes in the last two games and had 9, 5, and 2, which could have some value in some deeper formats. So the Celtics not going anywhere out of that 2 seed. There's going to be some odd rotations. Abdul Nadir might even become a guy, he might become a guy that you can use. 0 points in 10 minutes for Nadir in this game. The next game, the Detroit Pistons and the Memphis Grizzlies. Luke Kennard, yes, I told you he was going to become standard relevant at some point. 18, 3, and 4, 4 triples, 2 steals, 32 minutes, no more Reggie Bullock. So Lukey is a guy that you should be owning, while Tone Tolliver had 19, 4, and 1 with 2 steals and 4 triples. I don't think that Blake Griffin plays again this season. I could be wrong, but Tolliver is a guy that you want to own. Reggie Jackson was dealing with a case of the Rodney Hoods. 13, 4, and 3 with 2 steals and 2 triples for Reg in his 20 minutes, and Ish Smith played the rest there, 28 minutes, 11, 3, and 11. The Pistons do play again on Monday, so we'll see if there's any remnants of that gastric distress that Reginald was facing, but he is still a pretty solid 12-team league guy. Drummo, in a meaningless game against the Memphis Grizzlies, played 41 minutes. Shout out to you, Stan Van Gundy. 12 and 18 for Drummond, while Stan Johnson, who'd been playing pretty well, fell off with the shooting, but still adding three assists and getting a steal is useful. Hank Allinson had 17 points with four triples. He is like Anthony Tolliver light at this stage, so I wouldn't be shocked if Allinson plays 30 minutes in one of the remaining Pistons games and has fantasy value. So he is a name definitely to keep an eye on as the shit show that is the last week and a half of the NBA season rolls on. For the Grizzlies, Marc Gasol was back. He played 35 minutes, meaning there is absolutely, I won't say zero, there is absolutely 0.05% chance that he plays on Monday. He was great. 20 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal and a block. Awesome. Not going to play on Monday would be my guess. Marshawn Brooks, aka the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA, 25 points on 64% shooting, 4 triples, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. We'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it. He will not shoot this well. It is impossible. No one can continue to shoot 60% as a jump shooter, which is what he's currently doing. But while it's happening, ride it. Dylan Brooksy Brooks had 22, 8, and 8. It was a good night for the Brooks brothers. 2 steals there for Dylan as well. His role is fairly secure, and I think you can consider owning him. I don't think we see Andy Harrison, Jermichael Green, or Tyreke Evans again this season. Ivan Rabb, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 8 and 4, 22 minutes. I think he's going to be getting at least 20 minutes per game moving forward, which can have a little bit of value. While Kobe Simmons, his best game as a member of the Grizzlies, 22 and 7 in 32 minutes. But remember, he's been starting for a while, and he hasn't really come anywhere close to this level of performance. So expecting that on an ongoing basis is probably not the best way of using your expectations. The Orlando Magic and the Toronto Raptors. Shout out to Terrence Ross for coming back. He missed the last 57 games. Only played 10 minutes and had 3 points, and I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't play any of these other games. The Magic do play again on Monday, and he's not going to be a fantasy-relevant guy, but he's back. Kem Birch, I think, is 12 and 12 with 2 steals for Birchie in 21 minutes as they continue to limit Nick Vucevic as Gordon and DJ August and keep them in the lower 20s in playing time, meaning Birch, Shelvin Mack, and guys like Rodney Purvis and Jamal Artis can get extra minutes. Hezonja, I think his minutes are going to stay up. 14, 3, and 5 for Mario. He's fine to own. While Vooch only played the 23, but had 10 and 9 with 2 steals and a block. It is hard to drop him, but those low 20s in minutes are obviously pretty frustrating. For the Raptors, they're in full rest mode now. There was no Jonas Valanciunas. There was no DeMar DeRozan. And then Fred VanVleet and Bebe Noguera exited the game early. Bebe's got a hamstring issue, while VanVleet had back stiffness. Freddie was just being held out as a precaution, while Bebe's looks a little bit more serious. And I would imagine that the Raptors play again on Monday, that we'd see no Kyle Lowry or no Serge Ibaka in that game again. Just a prediction. The Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 triples and a block. Now, one of the reasons that I really liked him dynasty-wise is his ability to get defensive stats, steals and blocks, rebounds, and be a decent scorer. Now, he has done pretty much nothing the majority of time that he's been starting, but his defense has been good enough that he can lock down a 20-minute starting role. But give it 2 or 3 years' time, I think he can become a 14, 15-point scorer, 2 triples, 1.7 steals, 1.2 blocks, 6 rebounds, maybe 3-4 assists, and become a very consistent and reliable top 100 fantasy guy. Probably won't be this year, but this was good to actually see it in action. Well, Stormer Norman Powell, I think he's going to get some decent run over the rest of this season. 13, 5, and 4 with 3 steals and 3 triples after spraining his ankle early. CJ Miles also hit some threes, 5 of them for 22 points, and he is just as likely to score 0 than he is to score 22 points. Delon Wright should see some big minutes here too. 12, 6, and 4 with 2 steals and 2 triples. Absolutely fine to own him, especially for Monday, where I assume that Lowry will be part of the resting mechanism. The Utah Jazz locked themselves into a playoff spot. Just absolutely sensational from them, especially given how out of it they looked early in the season. Jinglin Joe, 22, 4, and 10, a steal and a block. He has been absolutely ludicrous for this team this season, among many other ludicrous performances on this team. Ingles has been absolutely superb. He had a stretch earlier in the season where he wasn't really producing, but he is now a top 60 player. And over the last 2 months, he is the 26th ranked player in fantasy. And that's over a 26-game sample. you know, knocking on the door of the top 50 by averaging 15, 4.5, and 6.5 with 1.2 steals, almost three triples on 48 and 80. That is absolutely sensational numbers from Jingling Joe. You know, upped his usage from last season and upped his efficiency. And when you see that combination happen, it is just a real sign of a very, very good and important player. The Don was excellent as well, 28, 9, and 8, a steal and a block, while Jay Crowder had 18 in his 30. Now, Ravishing Rick Rubio did play through his hamstring issue, but they're going to monitor his minutes, only 18 minutes here, and I would expect that to be the case for at least one of the next two games. That meant that Dante Exum and Royce O'Neal played extra, 15 and 5 for Royce, 6, 3, and 5 for Dante, really just deeper league guys, while Gobert only needed him for 26 minutes. He did have some foul trouble, though, as well, 4 and 6. On to the Lakers, no Kuzma, no Lonzo, no Brandon Ingram, and you would expect, or I would expect that that continues for the rest of the year. Brooke Lopez only the 21 minutes and missed all 10 of his shots. Tyler Ennis and Josh the Hitman Hart, excellent. Tyler Ennis had 22 points with 6 rebounds and 3 steals. This is a Tyler Ennis special. Pretty much every season, once the calendar clicks over to about April the 5th, he starts putting up numbers, and he's doing it again here. While the Hitman had 25 and 4 with the Richie Benno.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
I really like Josh Hart. You've heard me talk about him a lot. Does he have a place on this team? Maybe, because Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Isaiah Thomas, both of these guys are likely gone next season, and that could open up a spot for Hart. He does the rebounding stuff well. He steals, he blocks, he can pass a bit, he can shoot a bit. He does have significant fantasy value in the right situation. Randle only played 25 minutes. Again, as the Lakers, they've seen no reason to push, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope only 23 minutes here. Also, I wouldn't be dropping Randle. I would consider KCP, while Alex Caruso made another start and had 6 points in his 16 minutes. The last game of the night, the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns. Congratulations to Phoenix, who have now locked in the most ping pong balls in the upcoming NBA lottery. Clay was on fire, 34 in 34 minutes, and the Warriors' rotation of that center spot continued. 15 minutes for Zaza as the starter. But Kevon Looney still plays the most minutes. He had 6 points, 6 rebounds, and the defense is outstanding. 1 steal and 4 blocks. Looney is a 12-team league guy, as crazy as that sounds. Quinny Cook had 14, 6, and 3, and he needs to be owned. Clearly, he is going to be signing a multi-year deal with his team after they have waived Omri Caspi. Jordy Bell, yeah, pretty close to being out of the rotation. Only 6 minutes, and that's fewer than Damian Jones. And don't be surprised if Bell has quite a number of DMP CDs in the playoffs, except against if they end up with against Cleveland in the finals. I could see Bell starting and playing 20 minutes in those ones, but otherwise he looks to have moved down the rotation significantly. The Suns were without Alan Williams, Josh Jackson, Marquise Chris, TJ Warren, Alfred Payton, Tyson Chandler, and Devin Booker. So, of course, we had big games from Daniel House, who had 22 and 8. Dragan Bender had 14 and 14, and Len had 16 and 10, and Tyler Ulis 15, 2 and 10. Now, there's a couple of trains of thought out here. Triano said before the game that it was looking really unlikely that we'd see Booker, Warren, and Payton again. But then I saw another report from someone else suggesting that because the Suns have locked in the worst record in the NBA, perhaps those guys could come back and play the final game against the Mavericks, a meaningless contest. I can see maybe Booker coming back. I don't think you want to screw around with Payton's knee or with Warren's back. I think Booker's fine with his hand. He looks like he's fine. So he might return. It doesn't appear, at this point, what we're going on is the fact that we don't think they'll return. But that could change around. That means that, you know, guys like House and Ulis and to a lesser extent Len have got value in 12-team leagues. Len gets that real bump if Marquise Chris remains silent. We also had no Josh Jackson in this game as he was out with some bullshit injury that wasn't real, I'm sure. And he could very easily be back in the next game, taking minutes away from Shaq Harrison, Devon Reed, and Daniel House as well. All right, let's go on to some DFS action now for Tuesday. There is 9 games on Tuesday, but again, it's going to be shit show city. So just be prepared to really watch what you're doing in terms of your spending in the DFS frame. That's not right. Phase, however, you know, sphere. That's the word I'm looking for. The first game, the Raptors and the Pistons. Again, I'm expecting Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka to rest this game. We should have DeMar and Valanciunas back, whereas I don't expect Blake Griffin to suit up for Detroit. what I'm going to do in these ones, because there's just so much uncertainty over these last couple of days with DFS, I'm not going to go through every position and every player because so much of it can change. Let's talk about some things that I think are interesting. I think that DeLon Wright has got an excellent opportunity. He's at 4,400. He's already averaging 29 points over the last three games. And if Lowry sits, he will likely start. And with Van Vliet dealing with this back issue, there's a massive opportunity here for DeLon. So I like him quite a bit. Of course, if Lowry and Van Vliet are ruled out, then he becomes an automatic cash play. I think Storm and Norman Powell will have some additional playing time here as well. Even if DeRozan is back playing, he's not going to be playing 35 minutes. He'll be playing 24 or 25 minutes, and that will give Powell some extra playing time, while CJ Miles is a tournament type of a guy. Poeltl, if Bebe is out, as I imagine, and they'll keep JV down to 20 minutes or so, we could be getting 26 or 27 out of Poeltl, especially if Serge is out. And Siakam at 4,700 has that upside with the expectation that Serge sits out. On the Detroit side of things, I like Luke Kennard at 4,200 a lot. He had 34 points today, while Tone Tolliver at 4,500. Of course, that recommendation on Tone is completely reliant on the fact that I expect Blake Griffin to sit, but otherwise, Tolliver has been getting you 25 points basically every single time he has started for Griffin, and this game should be no different. Of course, it could be different, but I'm not sure that it will be. Reggie Jackson at 6,000 doesn't really get me going. Well, Andre Drummond at 10,900. That's a pretty expensive price. Yes, he did play 41 games today, but is Van Gundy crazy enough to go big minutes with Drummond again in a meaningless game on a back-to-back with two games left in the season? Yeah, he is, but will he do it? I don't think so. You could be looking at firing up your Henry Allensons. I think he's a cheeky GPP sort of an option. On DraftKings, very similar sort of stuff. I like DeLon a lot at 3,900. Siakam at 34 is an excellent, excellent option. Again, with the assumption that Serge is out. Tone Tolliver and Kennard, pretty strong plays on the Detroit side. Well, Drummond is more appealing here. He comes in at 9,700. And I think you could use that, but it'd really only be tournaments because there is still that element of risk. I think Stan Johnson is priced too high. Norm Powell at 3,100 has a decent level of appeal. And you could also look at the Jedi at 3,200 for Anunoby. He had a big game today, but repeating that probably feels like it's just not necessarily going to be on the cards. Let's go next game now. We've got the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks again. Just complete, shit showness potential. Although the Cavs would be ideally trying to win, and they should win regardless, but they might be pushing a little bit to make sure that they get a chance at that three seed. Of course, if the Sixers win out, the Cavs don't get there regardless, but they've still got to keep putting that pressure on. I don't think we're going to see Timmy Hardaway or Manuel Mudiay or Enes Kanter for the Knicks, who've all missed the last couple. And for the Cavs, Rocket Rodney Hood is probable, while George Hill and Jose Calderon are both questionable. Now, if Hill and Calderon are both out, we're going to see Chetty Osman get another start. His minutes have been okay, but the production really hasn't been exciting. Well, Jeff Green, we know, will start, and he has been shooting like the greatest player of all time. Of course, I refer to Marshawn Brooks. Knicks side of things here, love Damian Dotson at 4,100, has been playing very, very well with a 27 average over the last three. I think Frankie Ntilikina at 4,000 is appealing. I don't think my confidence is right there for him in cash, but tournaments it is. While Jarrett Jack at 3,900, he played 26 minutes and had 34 points last game, and if they're forced into giving him a role without Mudiay and Hardaway, which I think will be the case, then Jack is in play here. Courtney Lee at 3,700 again, just given the fact that there's no bodies around, he has to be an option, while the Cock Monster is up to 7,400, but he doesn't care because he's averaging 46 points over his last three. Of course, that will reduce if Kanter plays. I don't think Kanter plays. Trey Burke at 6,400. I have a little bit lower than, say, Dotson and O'Quinn and Jack, perhaps, but he's still a solid guy whose minutes and production are fairly predictable. Lukey Cornett at 3,600, also an opportunity there, especially if they limit Michael Beasley's minutes and Kanter is out. For the Cavs, it's LeBron at 12,200, but that's expensive for a cash game situation where the Cavs could realistically be up 30 at halftime, and perhaps they try and get LeBron some rest in. 12,200, he can easily get you 65 or 70, but he could just as easily get you 50 or 47 because the game is uncompetitive. Jeff Green at 4,500 is also, I think that's a pretty good option to look at Jeff at 4,500.
My name is Jeff.
Over on DraftKings, LeBron at 12-1, again, the same sort of story. O'Quinn, I love at 6,700. Dotson at 42 is good. And Jarrett Jack and Nila Keener at 34 and 41 are some nice tournament plays. Well, Jeff Green at 49. They've bumped him a little bit over on DraftKings. I don't think that it's enough to completely take him out of your player pool. Isaiah Hicks, Luke Kornet, yeah, there's some tournament value in those guys if Kanter is sitting as we expect. The Bulls and the Nets. Oh, yuck. Damari Carroll is out. He's out for the season, so he's not playing in this one. Caris LeVert is also doubtful for the Bulls. Noah Vonleh is doubtful. Robin Lopez is questionable with no injury at all. They're just not going to play him. Well, Lauri Markkanen missed the last game due to a back-to-back, but he should be ready to go. Really hard to get a full handle on what's happening in this game. Spencer Dinwiddie, $5,000. Yeah, he exceeded that value last game. Does he play 22 minutes? Does he play 29 minutes? I think the fact that LeVert is out does bump Dinwiddie, and I think you should feel a little bit more comfortable there. I love Cameron Payne, but he's consistently getting 3-4 minutes fewer than Jaren Grant, so it's not going to be that easy to use him. You can in a tournament. Point guards against the Knicks often can be quite useful, but I'm not super into campaign here. Well, Grant's at 5,700, and again, I just think that tops off so much of his upside. Jumpin' Joe Harris at 52. He's going to start. He's going to play 30 minutes and he's going to shoot. And at that sort of a price, in that sort of a role, I like Joe Harris here with Damari Carroll sidelined. Well, D'Angelo Russell's sort of the opposite to Spencer Dinwiddie. Do they go 32 or 33 for D'Angelo? Because if they do, he can easily exceed it. And that makes him somewhat of a tournament option. Jarrett Allen's at 57, who's been okay without being spectacular. Did put up 27 last game against the Bulls, so that's a decent indicator. While Markkanen at 5,700, again, just the way that they're limiting his minutes is putting a real cap on being able to use him while they are the sexy boy. Sean Kilpatrick at 5,300, consistently out, stripping that number. Absolutely no worries with playing him in cash and in tournaments. Shout out to Milton Doyle, who is an NBA player. On DraftKings, PunchBob, Jaren Grant, and Sexy Boy, I think they've all got some cash value. Portis at 6,500 is really interesting. Whereas for tournaments, D'Angelo, Rondé, who's a little bit highly priced, more so on FanDuel, but he's still got something there. Well, Dinwiddie and Jumpin' Joe Harris have some tournament upside over on DraftKings as well. But a game where rotations could be 100% up shit creek. Let's go on to the next one. We're talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Miami Heat, both of these teams with a lot to play for. The Heat, though, they could be looking to play to lose in order to get themselves into the seventh seed. As we saw last game with Richardson, Dragic, they're playing in a low 20s in minutes because they want to face Boston in round one. The Thunder, they do actually need to keep on winning to make sure they're in the playoffs. They're not there yet. So that could be a benefit from the guys on their team having some cash value. I'm not sure that it necessarily extends to Miami. The problem is the pricing on FanDuel for this game is really, really, really tough. It's really high and it takes, even though the consistency level and the floor, especially of these Thunder guys, is pretty strong, the pricing is so high. $6,900 for Steven Adams. It's $6,000. I'd say, yeah, that's fine, but almost seven, 35 points against Hassan Whiteside and the Heat. I don't think so, but I think his floor is okay, which makes him not someone that's horrendous to use. You know, Westbrook's at 12.5. Again, it's such a large amount to go and spend. Now, can you find the other cheap guys around? Sure, easily, you can do that. But 12.5 is quite a load. 8,100 for Paulie George, who hasn't really been, you know, firing on all cylinders, but I don't dislike it. It's more tournament-y to me than anything else. And on the Heat side of things, you know, Dragic, Wade, Joshy Richardson, Whiteside, Olynyk, Jim Johnson, they're all at risk of getting their minutes significantly limited and getting Scooter Magruder and Bam Adebayo and Luke Babbitt and Jordan Mickey and these guys in, which is a real possibility that Spoelstra can do because the Heat are locked into the playoffs and they want to try and position themselves for that seven seed, or so it would appear, but we will see. That's why I have no confidence in how they're going to run their rotation in this game. On DraftKings, it's the same. Nothing really stands out. You know, Westbrook at 11.9 is pretty strong. George at 7.8 and Adams at 6.3. all have a decent amount of value, but I'd be steering clear of the majority of the Heat players in this game just because of that lineup and minutes uncertainty that we talked about. The next game, which should be just enthralling, the Timberwolves and the Grizzlies. The Timberwolves desperately need a victory, and they lost last time they played against the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are playing fairly well, coming off a game against Detroit. Again, I just think there is zero chance that Marc Gasol, Jermichael Green, Tyreek Evans, or Andy Harrison suit up in this one, meaning we're still going to have those opportunities for value in many other places. Now, Jim Butler is back for the Wolves. He only played 23 minutes in his first game back, and he should be able to be eased back in a sub-30-minute role here in this one. Jeff Teague, I think at 7,500.
My name is Jeff.
Is worth a look. A really positive matchup going up against his brother. Is an interesting spot here for him. Kobe Simmons at minimum salary. I think you almost have to use Kobe after his performance today. But I really like Ivan Rabb. 5,300 for Rabby. He's been putting up numbers over 20 most times when he gets the playing time. And I think another one of those he's in line for here. While Deontay Davis at 38. With Gasol unlikely to play, I think that using Davis is a pretty strong option. And of course, the two Brooks Brothers. Dylan Brooks at 54, Marshawn Brooks at 65. Now, that's quite a hefty price for Marshawn, but he keeps exceeding that value majority of the time that he's out there. I'd be more keen on using Dylan at 54 than using Marshawn at 65, especially considering I've just harped on and on and on about how Marshawn Brooks won't continue to shoot at 64%. So given that price, which is tied into him shooting at that level, might be someone to fade off. 10-1 for Townsie. He's getting you 40 pretty much every night. You need more than 40, but I think your consistency expectation for Towns here should be pretty high, and thinking that he's going to get his 35 minutes, he's going to get his 40 points, which is not a bad cash play at this time of the year. Not really massively into Wigo with Jim Butler back, nor am I into spending 8,200 on Jim, where there could be a minutes restriction once again. On the DraftKings side of things, I like Rab a lot at 5,000, Dylan Brooks at 54, and Kobe Simmons at 36. There's value in all of those guys. I think Deontay at 43 also should demand some of your attention with the likelihood of Gasol sitting out. And Jimmy Butler at 7,000. I'm in for that for tournaments, just in case Tibbs loses his mind even more and plays him big minutes. He would absolutely shit on that number if he gets 35 minutes, which again is up in the air at this point. And Townsie at 10-3, probably a less favorable situation than what he is on FanDuel, but it doesn't mean that it's a complete write-off. The next game we're going to take a look at, we've got the Orlando Magic and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks, one of those three teams fighting for the seventh seed. I don't think we're going to see Johnny Isaac or Johnny Simmons for the Magic and the Bucks. They should be welcoming back Malcolm Brogdon, but there's still uncertainty over Yanni Antetokounmpo, Shabazz Muhammad, Sterling Brown, and Matty Dellavedova. So if Yanni is out, then we're really, really super keen on Jabari Parker. Dally and Sterlo, if they're out, it bumps up the value of maybe Street Hunger Brandon Jennings or Tone Snell. Yeah, no, it doesn't do anything to Tone Snell because he's terrible. And Jason Terry is the other one there who has that option. I like Ken Birch here a lot. 4,300. He's just getting you 22 to 24 minutes a night, getting you 28 to 30 fantasy points. And I love it. Really strong value. No matter what happens with these other guys, I do like him. We don't know if they're going to rest Vooch or rest Gordo. I do think that Bismack Biyombo is going to get some decent playing time. And if a rest comes through at $4,000, he can get you 27, 28 really, really easily. So not a bad guy to have into your tournaments. Eric Bledsoe's at 86, and we've seen point guards dismantle the Magic. I'm not sure that Bledsoe is going to need to do too much dismantling in this one, so that might be a little bit high. But Jabari at 64, Sonziani, or if we're Sonziani, then I think Jabari at 6,400 would be a pretty strong guy. The Muppet John Henson at 58 continues to put up numbers consistently, and I feel like he continues to be underpriced, so I like the Muppet there at 58 as well. Chrissy Middleton at 8,100. Yeah, it's not bad, and I don't mind it for cash. Azza Gordon's at 6,500, and there's just no way that I can trust him or Vooch or Yanni with the injury at this point. Hazonia at 5,700. I feel pretty good that's going to be a cash option also. Let's look at on DraftKings. nothing really stands out. There's no supreme value up on here. Yeah, Parker at 63 would probably be the closest. I'm fading the majority of these Magic guys. Johnny Henson's at 55. I like that. Hazonia at 59. Yeah, there's something there, but the price is probably just on a little bit on the high side. And Kem Birch at 44. Yeah, pretty interested in Kem over there at that price. Let's go on to the next one. We've got the Sacramento Kings and the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs are favored by 13.5, and the total is 199.5. Pau Gasol has started the last couple of games. That's great. We don't know if he's going to start this one. We know that Kawhi is out, and Kawhi most likely is not going to play this regular season, and that means probably not in the playoffs either. Labissiere is questionable, and I don't think we're seeing Garrett Temple, Kostas Koufos, or Zach Randolph for Sacramento. If Powell starts, he does become interesting at 5,700. Should be able to get you 27 against this Kings team. But the Spurs are not locked in, but they could really have this one under control early, but they're not locked in. So Pop doesn't have the liberty of resting guys liberally from the outset. So we're going to see most guys go hard pretty early. So there can be some value here. LaMarcus is at 9,900, a really, really strong matchup for Aldridge. His numbers have been excellent with a 51 average over the last five. So I think you can look at him. Same as DeJounte Murray, except that price at 7,000 is pretty bloody high. But point guards dismantle the Kings quite a bit. Murray's averaging 35 on his own over the last five. I think he's not a bad guy who with a fairly consistent role to look at here. Kyle Anderson, also a low upside player, but not a bad cash guy given the way that he is going. And Will Cauley-Stein's at 6,800. The minutes have been up. The production's been up. The Spurs should give you a level of caution, but I think he and De'Aaron Fox are worthy guys. And Budrick's dropped down to 57, and I can understand using Bud Heald. And even Bogdan at 5,300. If we look at this one over on DraftKings, very similar. Powell at 5,200 is in a really interesting spot if he starts. While Cauley-Stein at 6,100, all about that one. LaMarcus, DeJounte, yeah, some pretty decent cash plays there for both of those guys. And if you want to take a flyer on someone, perhaps it's Justin Jackson at 4,000. Or big Nigel Hayes at minimum salary. And the only reason I'd suggest Nigel is because he is a minimum salary player. Doesn't mean he's going to produce. He's averaging under 10 points so far. The Trailblazers and the Nuggets, the most important game of the day, I believe. If Denver loses this, it's going to be real tough for them to make the playoffs. They are favored by 4. They're at home. The total is 218. The Blazers aren't really going up or down. They're fairly much locked into that 3 seed. Ed Davis is off the injury report, so he should be back, while Gaz Harris,
nice, Gary,
he is not likely to play. He's listed as doubtful, which is an improvement from out, but it still means he's not likely to go. I love the Blue Arrow, 7,300. Malone is riding his players hard. Now, point guards have immensely struggled against this Blazers team all season, but I think that you just, with the way that this slate is shaking out, you got to look at Murray and go, I know I'm getting 36 minutes at least out of him, perhaps more in this sort of a game. So that gives him, yeah, some real value. Jokic at 11.5 as well. He's giving you 55 pretty much every night. They're going to roll with him. They're going to feed him. He's going to go out there and put up some big numbers. Now, he has struggled against Yusuf Nurkic in the past. We've seen that many times. I think he did all right the last time they played, but prior to that, he had struggled. As for Nurk, he's at 7,900. That's a pretty hefty whack for Nurkic, and I don't want to use that in cash. I think Babyneck, Paul Millsap, and the Chief,
sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit,
Al-Farouq Aminu, they're all decent tournament options. Aminu's numbers have been really down the last three, but he can easily bounce back for a 35-pointer. Millsap's only trepidation, or my only trepidation, is the $7,500 price tag, but he's got a good record against Portland, while Babyneck, really just because Gaz is out, he's going to just bludgeon his way, hopefully, into 25-plus fantasy points. You could also look at Fart and Will Barton. The guard issue is real there. 7,400, and Barton's been putting up consistent numbers. Absolutely no issue with considering Barton a cash guy. Lillard's at 9.7. Coming off an ankle issue, a good matchup for him. I'm not sure I'm totally locked in, but if you've got the cash left and you've got that 9,000 left, there's no worries about using him. I'd feel probably a little bit more comfortable spending it on him than spending, say, 12.2 or 12.3 on Russell Westbrook. On DraftKings, Nurk, the Blue Arrow and Jokic are all really good cash plays, same as Lillard at 9,000. Very much into all of those guys. Barton at 7,400, I'm out on. CJ McCollum at 71 is okay, but that's probably fade territory, while the Chief at 5,000 is a really good upside tournament play. But again, we can just never trust what he does for cash given his history as an NBA player. The last game of the night, very little implication now. The Clippers are out of playoff contention. The Rooster is out of this game. Lou Williams is doubtful. They're going to be just going easy on things now, it seems. The Pelicans do travel to LA to try and get themselves at least. They're not 100% guaranteed in the playoffs, but they're pretty bloody close to it. Ian Clark has been upgraded to questionable after missing the last couple with an ankle injury, RIP Jordan Crawford, while Austin Rivers is listed as questionable for the Clippers as well. And if he is out, then they are absolutely tanking and they do not give a shit. The value-wise here, I think Rivers at 63, if he plays, is in a great spot with no Lou Williams, but we don't know that yet. Whereas I like Etuan Moore at 44. The list manager, Ty Wallace, has been bumped to 5,500, which makes him a tougher guy to use. But if Rivers is out, then Wallace gets that bump. While Nick Mirotic, who's been averaging 47 over the last three games, he's at 6,900.
Giggity!
I don't feel like I can totally go in that for cash. I think there's a legitimate chance that Emeka Okafor starts this game against DeAndre Jordan, who Doc Rivers thought may not play, and now he's not listed on the injury report at all. So that's something to bear in mind. I think that price for Mirotić is a tougher one. The table, Montrezl Harrell at 54. I'm all about that. No Gallo, maybe limited Toby Harris, maybe limited DeAndre Jordan. All about the table there, especially for cash. While Tone Davis is at 13,200. That is just an extraordinarily high price. And I know he's been killing it, a 65 average over the last three. I just don't think I can justify 13,200. Rondo is up in the air, especially with Clark likely or a chance to return. And Drew at 8,900 is just too expensive. Over on DraftKings, Rivers, Wallace, and Harrell are the guys I'm paying attention to, especially Austin. If he plays at 5,500, that is a sensational price. Tone Davis at 11,600 is also really good over on DraftKings, while Toby Harris and Nick Mirotić form a pretty strong foundation of a tournament lineup. Still some trepidation over what they're actually going to do with Toby Harris in this game. Let's just run through some options over on the other sites. On Yahoo for tournaments, Drummond, Punch Bob Shiploke, Fred Van Vliet, Lukey Cornett. And then for cash and tournaments, we're talking Kobe Simmons, Jeff Green, Etuan Moore, Felizio, Nil Aquina, Sexy Boy, Sean Kilpatrick, Kennard, Pat Mills, Damian Dotson, Deontay Davis, Tone Tolliver, Gay, Harrell, Nwaba, Harris, the list manager, Jaron Grant, De'Aaron Fox, Dylan Brooks, Siakam, Rab, Marshawn Brooks, Nurkic, Bledsoe, Aldridge, and Jokic. If there's a site you're going to play DFS on, I think Yahoo's the one. There are tons and tons of value plays there. On Moneyball tournaments, we've got Nurkic, Teague, Portis, D'Angelo, Pau Gasol, Mirotić, D'Lon, Pascal Siakam, Dylan Brooks, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Lukey Cornett. And for cash, we've got Norm Powell, Kobe Simmons, Jeff Green, Nil Aquina, Kennard, Dotson, Deontay Davis, The Table, Jumpin' Joe Harris, The List Manager, Ivan Rabb, Marshawn Brooks, Kylo Quinn, Aldridge, Jokic, and LeBron. And on Draft Stars for tournaments, it's Nurkic, it's Powell, it's the Blue Swimmer, Alan Crabb, Deontay Davis, Jarrett Jack, McLemore, Wes Johnson. And for cash, Courtney Lee, Kobe Simmons, Frank Ntilikina, Kilpatrick, Dotson, The Table, The List Manager, Jaron Grant, Jumpin' Joe Harris, Dylan Brooks, Ivan Rabb, Marshawn Brooks, DeJounte Murray, Toby Harris, Punch Bob, D'Angelo Russell, Kylo Quinn, Kevin Love, and Nikola Jokic. Make sure you are checking out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA. I hosted that episode today. We talked Pelicans, we talked Nuggets, and we talked Celtics. So check out Locked On NBA and the rest of the network by either going to Twitter, Locked On NBA Net, or our new website, Locked On Sports, which will host all of the podcasts plus all original written content across all of the 60-plus sites that we've got, which will be building up to 90-plus over the coming months as we fill out our baseball roster. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star review and a rating would be, or 5-star rating, and a review would be awesome. Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube, where you can go leave a thumbs up and a comment and hit that subscribe button on YouTube as well. Check out Basketball Monster. Follow me on Twitter at RedRock_Bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Sheldon McCoy.